got you, don't you worry. If you were in a hurry, buy a Curry and Claypool. Curry and Claypool, no matter how your day go, they got a fresh new show today. It's Curry and Claypool. Whether you up north or Garden, yeah, turn up your sound and what? Listen well, cause we got something to say to you. Curry and Claypool, they in the know. They're topping stuff from A to Z. So whether you drive fast or slow, just sit on back and feel the beat.
Oh no!
It's Curry and Claypool!
Good morning, it's Curry and Claypool Show right here on Tony Curry Radio. It is Wednesday, December 1st. I cannot stick and believe it is the first day of December. Welcome to Christmas month. If you haven't already got into it, we are the Curry and Claypool Show. You can hear us from 7:30 to 9:30 the Monday through Friday morning. Again, from 6 to 8 right here on the Tony Curry Radio app. And, of course, you'll be watching us coming up here shortly on the Tony Curry Radio page on Facebook. Some people said, why don't you have the show on the Tony Curry Radio page? And we will do that shortly. But as of right now, since it's Tony Curry, it's on the Tony Curry Radio page. Got a monster show for you today. Normally, I have about 6,000 or 7,000 things printed off, ready to get prepped up and get into all kinds of great content. We'll certainly do that, but I have nothing printed off today, which means our show is usually flying by the seat of our pants, and it's always one of our best shows. So we'll have that going on this morning right here on the Curry and Claypool Show. And as always, I'm waiting on my radio partner, Dr. Claypool, who will be here in just a few seconds here. We got some great birthdays to get into. My daughter said something to me last night. That was really, really funny, but really, really kind of scary. I'm going to talk about that. My daughter, of course, a 9-year-old. There he is. 7:25, man. Was the garage door? Was it the garage door? I'm going to start hammering on you now. Was it the garage door? Was it the freezer? Did you have a raccoon in the garage? Was it? Why do you put yourself through this? Huh? Yeah, you do. We have some interesting science I want to get into today. Normally, I don't do lists, but I thought this was really interesting. I was looking.
You always do lists. You do lists every day.
Not lists like this. Kim and Kanye back together again last night. Yeah.
What the hell? What time did I go to bed?
They were at the late Virgil Abloh's final show last night, celebrating Louis Vuitton, and okay, there they sat in the front row with their 8-year-old daughter, holding hands. Co-parenting.
It's just co-parenting.
We also have some interesting classic rock news. The Foo Fighters, who you've been sending ton of videos.
Dave Grohl does this now every year.
I know. Did you see him singing Copacabana?
Didn't I send it to you?
Yeah, but you sent me the whole thing. I wasn't going to watch the whole thing. He released the song yesterday.
Yes, I sent you it yesterday.
Yeah. But there were several other songs on that thing you
said. Because it's the third night of Hanukkah.
I know, but I wasn't going to watch the whole thing.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
He released the single yesterday.
Yes, well, it's hard because it's all linked. You know what? For as talented as they are, he doesn't do his YouTube thing right. He's got it under Foo Fighters, and so you can't. I tried to send you just the one yesterday, but then I see you got the whole thing, so you had the least.
Maybe he's doing it right. Maybe
and then
he wants
it. The Ramones.
Yeah.
The
problem is. He doesn't sing it like Dave Grohl. He sings it like Barry Manilow.
Now that's unique for him because the other two, the Ramones song and the Lisa Loeb song, he just like it down like Harry Rollins. I mean, it just was awesome. And the Ramones song he sang it like the Ramones, but he changed the words.
Yeah.
But yes, I was totally expecting. Here's what I was expecting from Dave Grohl with Copacabana. First of all, I was laughing.
Yeah.
Right? And then I'm like waiting for him to just go into something like shredded guitar.
It never happens.
No, he just sang it like.
I know.
He sounded.
He's a great singer.
But he sounded like Barry.
But it sounded like. I couldn't tell if he was trying to make fun of himself or if he was trying to be serious or a little bit of both.
I think it was both. I did not. I will tell you this. While I liked the novelty of it yesterday, of the three, I did not like it. Because I wanted him to do something. The other two, he just. Yeah.
If you're going to hear Metallica do a Christmas, I want to hear Metallica do.
That was awesome.
So, it's great. I mean, I love the fact he's putting all this material out, and I mean, he's just doing cover after cover after cover, but you're listening for it. You want to hear Dave Grohl sing Copacabana, which would be really, really good, but he's just kind of singing it like a lounge act.
I'm telling you, man, for us Jews, it warms our heart. Like, you know, we don't got much this time of year besides Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And having Dave Grohl, like, just pull these things off as one of us.
Yeah.
You know, we have Adam Sandler and the Hanukkah song.
Yeah.
But, like, that's it. Like, when it comes to pop culture.
No, it was great.
So.
It was great. We also have a boatload of holidays that we want to get into today and some birthdays I want to talk about as well. I don't have anything today.
Well, you got a lot.
I did 2 hours of prep. Well, I mean, but that's just, you know, usually I have stacks of stuff ready to go, and I'm like,
Ryan Kelly,
but this is usually
slips, and we got, oh my God.
Now, that wasn't a Freudian slip. I don't know if we read his text that he sent to his football team the night before.
No, and I mean, then
he
the AD statement.
Yeah. And then we, there's no love loss there between Jack Swarbrick and Brian Kelly. As a matter of fact, here's the thing. If Brian said, listen, they're offering me $10 million a year, would you like to make me an offer, or just sat there and waited? But he never asked. He was gone. He was already. And that's something you never do in business. You did Adapter Parish last night, by the way, and listen, it was great. Here's the deal. If you get a job offer, and a lot of people are getting offers, they're wanting to move on, do their own thing, start their own business, whatever, you should always allow your previous employer or your soon-to-be previous employer at least to make an offer to retain your services.
Go ahead.
I know this because I've gone through it twice.
Okay, go ahead, because I'm going to have a little bit of a counter. Maybe we're on the same page.
Unless it's just a slam dunk, there is no doubt. But it does, because you don't want to burn bridges in businesses, because you never know when you're going to start working with that person again.
That's right.
Your boss may end up being your employee one day. You just don't know. And certainly in radio, I've seen that happen a million times. So you don't ever want to burn bridges. But I have been through a certain where I'm like, there's no way this job sucks. This job's so much better, and I'm just going to go in and put my 2 weeks in. I think it's proper etiquette to at least say, listen, I'm entertaining offer. I'm very, very serious about going to LSU, and I'm for the most part, I'm fully going to accept the job, but I wanted to let you know. And at that point, let them navigate a little bit, as opposed to saying, because he left them high and dry. I don't think anyone thought that Brian Kelly, despite the fact that Jack, and he may be saving face too a little bit by saying, yeah, he's been itchy and a little fidgety lately.
So
I kind of felt like he was out, but no one thought that Brian Kelly was going to take that LSU job.
That's an interesting
insight. I think it would have come across as, and listen, Brian Kelly's never going to go back to Notre Dame. But you don't ever know.
Right.
You don't ever know. I mean, you see coaches get fired and they end up going back and working with the university in some other aspect, maybe as the president or the AD or whatever.
No, he burned bridges. He burned a lot of bridges. And I think it's interesting what your comment was, that you felt like the AD's comments were, may have been less authentic and more covering his own.
Jack's got to protect Notre Dame. It didn't make Notre Dame look good that Brian Kelly left. And I understand why he left. I get it. I just don't think he did the right way.
So you don't think it was accurate? So you don't think that Jack's comments about why he thought Brian left were accurate or truthful, but that he got the sense from Brian that on several conversations that there was this, whatever he said, this restlessness, this, he was kind of done. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. And I think that, and I said this on the Jay Barker Radio Network yesterday, I think that he was limited in what he felt like he could get done at Notre Dame.
Uh-huh.
It's a private institution as opposed to a public one. Obviously, it's much more difficult to get into Notre Dame than it is to LSU. LSU will take anybody. If you write an X on your ACT test, you're getting at LSU. It's a state university.
I know.
That's the way it is. It's really difficult to get into Notre Dame.
But even in a state university.
Like Duke or anything else. That's why, you know.
Stanford?
Yeah, and that's why Stanford doesn't win national championships.
Duke's
a little different because you're only talking about five guys on a team as opposed to 125 guys. So, you know, it's just a little different. It's much more difficult to recruit at a Notre Dame, and so I get that. And I also feel like we mentioned this yesterday. I said it on the show, and everyone was like, I didn't think about that. That's true. He's not a huggable, lovable kind of guy. He's not a guy you're going to fight for. I'm not saying his football team doesn't do it. But he's not one of those guys that you're going to go to the gates of hell for.
We demonstrated it yesterday. Why?
Yeah, certainly his football players might.
Yeah.
And he's a great coach. But his legacy lies with whether he can win a national title. He's going to turn it. He's going to turn to be one of these guys that is going to be the Charles Barkley of college football. Like, okay, you're the most winningest coach at Notre Dame. Right. That's amazing. That's right. Amazing right. To be the winningest coach at Notre Dame is incredible. In 12 years, okay. So the only thing he's got to hang his hat on right now is he's got to win a national championship, and he does have a better chance at doing that at LSU than he does at Notre Dame. There's no doubt about that. I believe that. And I think, maybe he didn't like the rules, the regulations. Maybe it was somewhat of the fact that it was a religious college. It was a research private school. I don't know, but I feel
That's so sad.
But I mean, that's why I never felt like Brian Kelly was a Notre Dame guy.
Oh,
you know, and, you know, I think LSU made a great choice. I don't think, you know, normally you would hire a guy like that. And the way he left, you're kind of like, okay, this is our guy now. I think that they made a great choice. I think that's what they wanted.
Why do you think he's a great choice?
Because he's a hell of a – I think he's a hell of a football coach to see what he's done at Notre Dame to keep the relevant. The other thing I think that really bothers him is I think he got a little taste of what it feels like to be in a conference last year through COVID, and I think he likes that. And while everyone's playing championship games this weekend, Notre Dame's sitting on their ass at home, not playing another game, and he wants to go out and play. He wants to go. He wants to prove himself that he's worthy of one of those four positions. The way he left his team was a crock of crap. I hated that part of it.
It got worse.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't do his players. I mean, his players were sitting there going, you know.
And then when I read about calling them in the next morning at 7 a.m. after for a 3-minute, but you know what? You make a really good point. I mean, if you add the layers there of his personality, the limitations for him as a football coach at Notre Dame. When I say limitations, obviously he reached short of a national championship. He squeezed
Blood out of the turnip. Yeah.
Yeah. So he did that, but you could see it's interesting. It's 12 years. You can see over time that it probably piled up on him, and even to this point, what you're saying about not being in a conference, right? Yeah. And you see that in people's jobs all the time. It's interesting because about a decade nowadays that's about time where people are like, okay, first 5 years, I'm gonna give it a shot. This is exciting. This is new.
Yep.
Okay. And then within 5 years, you kind of hit your, ooh, okay, this one's not gonna, this is not, okay, I can work with this. And then you get to this point where, and particularly depending on your age, where you're like, okay, this isn't gonna change much. And then what I think is interesting is if you're young, you relatively young, 30s, ish 40s, you're like, this isn't going to change much. I got to get out so that I can do something different. And if you're older, it's the same thing. This isn't going to change much, and I don't have time.
Yeah.
The thing is just sad to me, and I'm always disappointed in leaders when they do this. He had multiple opportunities to do this less than horrible.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, the text message was bad. We talked about that yesterday. And then I was thinking, okay, find the text message. Oh, you blew it. All right. Call your players in. Sit down. Have a heart-to-heart.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you did that privately, given that you sent the text, let the athletic director know that they can tell the public that you had a private, quiet meeting with them. Because that's good. But he didn't do that.
No.
They have the transcript.
No.
It's 3 minutes long. What are you doing?
Yeah, why'd you drag my ass in here at 7 o'clock?
Oh, that was, I mean, come on.
For a 3-minute thing. Listen, wouldn't it be great if a coach just came in and said, listen, I know that no one knew about this. Now, we knew that Ed Orgeron was leaving a month and a half ago. So there was plenty of time to formulate this and make this happen. So there was a lot of workings going on behind the scenes that we didn't know about. We just found out about it after he just put his foot on the ground in Baton Rouge. But if he had said, listen, guys, I love you. I've been here for 12 years. We've accomplished some wonderful things together. This year, I think you're one of the best four teams. Unfortunately, I have decided that I'm going to move on. Let me explain to you briefly why I decided to do this. It breaks my heart because we've grown together and you're my guys and we've got a wonderful thing. And I know a lot of people thought I was going to stay here, but as a man, and you'll realize this later in your life, that sometimes you have to make some choices. And at the age of 60, the money's too good. And I just really appreciate that. And I feel like I've got a better chance at consistently vying for a national championship at this next school I'm going for. And I think people would go,
you know
I get
that is, but you know what that is?
But he sat there and said, you know, boys, there's opportunities, and I had to take it, and thank you, and walked out the door, and I'm like, what is that?
Listen, that is, that kind of tough conversation is what keeps relationships alive. It keeps parents and families together. It keeps corporations together. It keeps politics and nations together. And most of the time, stuff like that, like what he did, happens because we are uncomfortable sitting with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We won't do it. And I'll go one step further, and I'm using him as an example, but there are a gazillion people. Man up.
Yeah.
You think you're a courageous leader?
Mm-hmm.
That is the most wimpy ass way of walking out. And I'm not saying it's just him. I see it all the time. It is, I've decided to take this thing, I'm moving on, or they make, someone else makes an announcement.
Yeah.
You get in there and don't even make excuses like to the way you are today. No excuses. You can even say, I recognize I've let you down.
Yeah.
But I had to make I let you down and I had to make a decision for myself and I chose to do this and I apologize for doing that.
Yeah, apologize to the
kids. And then you just shut up.
Yeah, and just let it go.
And let them be mad at you.
They're men. They're men. I know they're young, they're kids, but they're men. They understand things like this.
And they have a right to be mad. I mean, that's the thing we do all the time, man. We see this in marriages, you know? You screw up, you apologize, and then your partner's getting mad at you, and then you don't want them to be mad at you.
Yeah.
Well, you just did something that made him mad.
Yeah, the college football playoff committee came out last night. They dropped Notre Dame to number 6. And they did say it comes into play when you lose your quarterback or lose your coach in this particular case. This is unprecedented that we'd ever have a coach that's about ready to play for a national championship. Right now they have about a 51% chance at making the college football playoffs. Despite the fact they dropped to 6, they have a better shot at making it than Oklahoma State, ranks 5th. Couple things have to happen. It doesn't have to be mass chaos. Alabama has to lose. They're an underdog. Cincinnati could lose. Michigan, who's number 2, could lose to Iowa. And Iowa's got a lot to prove. They're a 2-loss team. That was number 2 earlier in the season. So there's a couple things that could happen. It would not be like, whoa, weekend if Notre Dame somehow gets in. What I think a lot of people are pulling for, and I know there's a lot of people down here in the South that hate Notre Dame.
Right.
I would love to see them play for a national. I would love to see them win a national championship if it's not Alabama. I would love to see Notre Dame. Just so Brian knows that he could. Because I really believe that he felt like they haven't won a championship since 1988. I don't think that he felt like Notre Dame could ever get over that hump.
Yes.
And he was getting a lot of those questions. Okay, you're getting to the national championship. You're getting in the playoff. You're a top 5, top 10 team pretty much year in and year out. Why are you leaving? Because that's along with the money and everything else. I think they said he was making $3.5 million a year. He was making closer to 7. With the endorsement deals, because it's a private institution, they don't have to divulge how much he's making. But so the money, I don't think, was the big issue. I don't know how long his contract was at Notre Dame, but like Lou Holtz, they gave him a lifetime contract. They were never going to do that with Brian Kelly because he was not a Notre Dame guy. Lou Holtz was a Notre Dame guy.
Yeah.
He was out there fighting for Notre Dame. He was talking Notre Dame as in like they were one and the same. Brian Kelly was working at Notre Dame, and that was it. He wasn't go fighting Irish. He did it for the cameras. He panned, but he was not a Notre Dame guy, and he wasn't that huggable.
Listen, man, that plays into, while he left, right? That does play into how you're perceived by the company and the corporation. Are you? You could be doing a fantastic job for your company.
Yeah.
Just killing it, but not demonstrate, and these are hard, it's hard to put your finger on it, not demonstrate passion for your company.
Yeah.
And when it, and while he left, there's less reason to try to keep you if you've used the sales thing. You're killing it in sales, but you know what? You don't really represent the brand well, but you're killing it in sales. Oh, should we keep you? Should we not? You haven't done anything
wrong.
You're
just really good at what you do, but you could do it anywhere.
Yes.
But you're not the company.
Brian Kelly, anything guy? Not anything. Is he going to be an LSU guy? It's not his personality, right? Or do you think it is the university?
Maybe that's what LSU is looking for. Maybe they're looking for a guy that comes in and says, we're going to turn this more into a business.
Yeah.
You know, until we can win national titles. You know, Ed Orgeron had lightning in a bottle. He went 15-0. He had a killer offensive coordinator. Brady had a killer quarterback. He was once in a generation. It was a Cam Newton Auburn moment. And everything just fell in line. It was an unbelievable year. And then 2 years later, he's looking for a job. Now, obviously, there was a Title IX, a sexual harassment case, and everything else that was involved in that. But I don't think there's any other dirt on it. I think Brian Kelly, I'm not saying I wouldn't have made the same move. I just would have done it differently.
Well,
Think when you're talking about a private institution, you're talking about a Catholic university or any religious, whether it's Methodist or Episcopalian or Baptist or whatever, I think it's more tight-knit. You're more unified with your student body and your associates and your administrators because you are a private institution, and I think he just went out the back door on them, and that hurts. A state-run college, okay.
But why is it any different?
I'm just telling you, as a private institution, it's more difficult to get in. It's more inclusive.
Yeah, no, I understand.
It's special.
That.
It's like the superintendent leaving Oak Mountain School District. Or the superintendent leaving Indian Springs.
Yeah.
It's the same damn thing. You get it, me?
Yeah.
If all of a sudden the principal of Indian Springs says, I'm leaving and I'm going to Coleman, and you're like, what?
Yeah. Because it's right.
This is inclusive. We got everything here. Look at us. Well, we have our own TV deal. We've been on NBC for 20 years. We're Notre Dame. We're so good. We're independent. We don't even need a conference. And you're going to go to the SEC? Yeah. That hurts. That hurts the student body. It hurts the people that are there. That's what it is. It's a private school. You know.
Let's use him as an example. He is an example. Not he as a person, but what he did. Whether you're at a private school, public school, corporation relationship, do not. And even if, listen, we're speculating because we don't know all the inner workings and all this stuff. But that actually doesn't matter because what we saw you do was not the way to exit anything. I don't care what was happening in the background.
And it's amazing because we're talking about one of the best coaches, one of the most high-profile guys in college football, and you don't have somebody, you're bringing in psychiatrists, you're bringing in Kanye, you're bringing in celebrities on weekends, you as the head coach of one of the greatest college football programs we've ever known, don't have someone to say, Brian, this is how we're going to go about this.
Where's the priest?
Well, get some help. Yeah, really. Go to confession and get some answers,
man. But don't you think, you've heard me ask that. You've heard me say that so many times, right? And I don't know the inner workings.
Maybe he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Maybe, and I think he's got some narcissism in him. I think he's a little bit of a blowhard, but he's very, very good. He was going to be one of those guys that was easy to fire. If he wasn't doing well at Notre Dame, because it's like, okay, but he won enough and he set some records and he won the most games there. And now he's got them vying for another national championship potentially. And so it was very difficult to hammer on because he was doing his job.
Well, he could have been,
but he wasn't a Notre Dame guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When Nick Saban came in, cause I just think this is such a great parallel. We know that he left, LSU and Miami in less than optimal ways, right? Because that was part of his whole thing.
Yep.
When he came in to Alabama, was he an Alabama guy? When he came in. I'm not talking about right now. Because, again, what do you think?
I think we made him an Alabama guy, exactly. Whether he wanted to be an Alabama guy or not. And I remember when he first came in, we were on the air doing the opening drive with Alan Jay in the mornings on Jocks. I remember saying, how long is he going to be here? 3 years, 4 years? Because he had jumped around a little bit.
Yes.
And, you know, then he started having some success. And then we're like, okay, I give him another 3 or 4 years.
Well, because it wasn't.
Then he got the $8 million deal or the $4 million deal, yeah. which was like $4 million a year. What are we doing? I remember talking for 3 weeks about why are we paying these coaches $4 million? Well, now they're getting 10. And, no, he grew into an Alabama guy. But then, you know, you throw in a couple of tornadoes. You throw in some. you throw in some different things where you're more community based. I'm you know.
Well, and he is. I mean that, and maybe that is.
With all due respect and compassion towards people that were affected by the tornado, but it made them. He exactly. turned into a community. Miss Terry's out there promoting things. They did Nick's kids. He's got a Mercedes ownership. I mean, he is entrenched. He's got a lake house.
That's what I'm saying, Brian Kelly. Both Nick Saban and Brian Kelly, when they came in, were not automatically, because of their lineage and their history, Notre Dame or Alabama guys.
Yeah.
Nick Saban, because of not just his winning, because of his connection with the community, and even with, look, again, we've said this, Nick Saban is not, you know, his personality is not Dabo Sweeney. You don't, you're not ready to go give him a big hug. And yet behind the scenes, he's doing all these things. And Brian Kelly didn't. And then on top of it, I mean, here's the other thing I think Brian Kelly did that was a mistake. And you just said this. He got one shot now at LSU. Yep. Like before, he could have left. He could have left the right way. He could have left with explanations. I need to go be a part of this other thing, etc. And there would be more grace.
Mm-hmm.
I think now it's to your point, you burned bridges, even if you didn't intend to at all, and now we're watching you.
Yeah.
Nothing short of a national championship.
Well, and I don't think that, because now you left to have all the resources, you have all the utensils to make a hell of a meal. You know, your burners are working, you can outsource, you can do whatever you want, and you got a state, you can bring in any kid you want. LSU's always had great recruiting classes.
Right.
Notre Dame's had good recruiting classes, but it's much more difficult to get into that private school. Now you have it all, and yeah, I'm not saying it's a money grab. It's smart from a career move, I think.
Absolutely.
For him, he's going to have a better shot at winning a national championship at LSU. He's got a 10-year deal, which takes him to 70 years old. He's got all the money he needs. So yeah, but if you're LSU and you're looking for a Kunas as your head coach, you had that. He won you a national championship. He's gone. The other thing I think is amazing, and this is crazy, but the last three LSU coaches have won national championships.
Maybe that's
why. Pretty crazy.
Maybe that's why.
You can't say that at many universities. No. Period. The last three coaches at LSU have won national championships. That's crazy. So he's trying to be the fourth. So. I like Brian. I've met Brian.
Yeah, I know.
He comes across as very, very guarded, and doesn't take criticism well. I think he's a great X's and O's guy. I think he's got a great staff, and he'll have all the disposals. And again, I don't know what kind of deal. Did LSU make a deal with the devil? This is the biggest splash hire I can remember in a long time. Yeah. I mean, the biggest splash hire.
Yeah.
It's bigger than Lincoln Riley. Yeah, bigger than Nick Saban. Bigger than anything, because you got a guy that is represented, and for the most part, as far as I can remember, has kept the university at Notre Dame pretty clean.
Yes.
Outside the stuff in the Catholic community.
Yeah, well, that's
at that Catholic university. Outside the priest and all those things going on. He's done pretty good at keeping it in-house.
Just can see him going, come on, maybe guys.
Maybe that's why he's getting out.
That's interesting.
Today is Woody Allen's birthday. How old's Woody?
I thought he's dead.
No, he's Woody Allen?
Yeah.
No, Woody's one of those Me Too guys that has escaped. He is.
Yeah.
I think it's because he's just too damn old. I thought he was too old, but Bill Cosby got at 86, man, he has gotten away. He is unscathed. I think it's because Woody's weird. Woody was never he was never America's family father.
Oh no.
He was never a rap singer.
He was weird.
He's always been weird. People wanted to be in his movies. They knew if you were in a Woody Allen movie, you made it big. And so, but he's Woody and he's just strange and he's kind of bizarre.
Well,
and he
didn't deny, like, he embraced, not the right word. He acknowledged what he did and rationalized. He's one of those, you know, I talk about Dave Grohl's good for us as the tribe. Mm-hmm. Woody's done some amazing things, and at the same time, well, plus the thing about Woody Allen, his movies are great. You know me, I don't like stereotypical neurotic Jew.
Yeah.
I don't, because I am.
He doesn't
one.
Represent the Jewish community.
He doesn't. He's not a brand ambassador. It's like Brian Kelly. Like, he's done an amazing job, I think, but like, we are not like all like that.
Yeah. Richard Pryor would have been 81 today. Bette Midler has a birthday today.
She's got to be pushing 76.
She's 76. Very good. Charlene Tilton. Remember young Charlene Tilton?
Yeah,
from Dallas.
She's got to be pushing 63.
She's 63. Very good. Lee Trevino turns 82 today. And I don't know if you saw Tiger Woods had his first press conference yesterday.
I did not see. I didn't see the press conference. I saw the interview he did with the woman from the Golf Channel when they showed him playing golf, and then they interviewed. He's like a robot.
He squashed the first of all, he's getting the best care you could possibly get.
Well, yeah, I know.
You mentioned the fact that they talked about amputating his leg. He's back out. He talked about getting back in the tour, and then he threw out the patronizing, well, you know, these are the best players in the world. I don't know how I can compete. I fully expect him to play golf again. And he's had the comeback of all comebacks. We had the whole, you know, what's going to happen first? Tiger Woods wins a Masters or blah, blah, blah. And he did that. I mean, the guy's amazing. And I was going back through through his career, and he is one of the most screwed up, beloved celebrity sports figures we've ever had. We've given him so many chances because we love him and we know what he did with the game of golf. And he did. He opened hundreds of thousands of new golf courses. He gave minorities, African-Americans, the belief in the opportunities and resources to play golf more so. I mean, he changed Augusta. I mean, he did so many great things for the game of golf and the PGA. And I'm sitting there watching him, and I'm like, he's got nothing more to prove. He's got nothing to prove.
No.
Unless it's to himself. And if he feels the need, and I don't know how old is he. Hell, he's got to be he's pushing 50. He's got to be in his 40s. He's getting close to 50 because I know we talked about him playing at the Regions. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, because we're a redemptive society, and we want to see we love comeback stories. Yeah. We love comeback stories. We talked about Mike Tyson, you know, sticking a pound of coke up his nose with his pet tiger and 100 pounds overweight for him. Now he's licking toads, and everyone loves Mike Tyson because he's Mike Tyson.
Right.
Michael Vick, we can go on and on and on. Robert Downey Jr. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, the dude had a 9-iron upside of his head, went through that messy divorce thing, had the drunk driving conviction where he was so messed up he couldn't stay on the side of the road. And then he's in a car wreck, and someone asked him about the car wreck yesterday, and he squashed that quick. The sheriff's department was asked again about it yesterday. They wouldn't say anything about drugs, impairment, or anything. They just said speed was the cause of the accident. And why he was going, was it 87 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone? I have no clue. Was he distracted or something? I'm like, you don't drive 80 miles an hour when you're distracted. Something's wrong there.
Well, and around curves.
Something is wrong there. Exactly. You're a calculated dude.
Yes.
You're incredibly organized. You have a work ethic unknown to mankind as we know it. And you're distracted and going 87 miles an hour on a 35-mile-an-hour zone. That doesn't sound like Tiger. Something was going on there. I don't know what it was, but something don't jive. Something don't feel right. Oh, you're like...
His whole sex addiction thing. I mean, think about it. That's another example. I mean, it's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
You're the most calculated. I mean, we've talked about his upbringing. We don't have to get into it. We've talked about sort of his transgressions. What we see in Tiger Woods is what you see actually in a lot of people. And that is, there are a whole lot of demons that have come out and that we've seen them from sexual, I'm not a big on sex addiction, but sexual, whatever you want to call it, indiscretion, to opioid addiction, to, you know, all of that. This is a guy who puts a face of amazing things and has done amazing things and is incredibly broken, as many of us are.
Yeah.
It's just that his brokenness, not only is he public, his brokenness is larger than life.
Yeah.
He didn't just get in a fight. He had a 9-iron to his thing. You know, he didn't just go out and drink one night and stumble home. He got pulled over. So they're larger than life. What's interesting, it's so interesting to me when I watched at least the interview, it irritates me. It irritates mm-hmm. me. As a psychologist, he's like, you know, he's got all the right answers and he's guarded, but he's guarded not in a Brian Kelly way. He's, you know, these are important times and I'm doing, I'm like, mm-hmm. come on, dude.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. You almost had your freaking leg amputated. Like, tell mm-hmm. us something. And then on top of it, which I don't know if you call it frustration or envy. Like I'm looking at him come out when he looks like he still looks like an Adonis.
Yeah, he looks great.
And how could you look that great?
And he's been laying in bed for 3 months.
He talked about it. He was immobilized for 5 months.
Yeah.
He said his legs were shaking so bad because he had no core strength. Mm-hmm. When he went over to putt, it looked like there was wind blowing. I'm like, and now look at you.
Yeah. It's amazing. I don't know, but we got to remember this. We don't see him every day.
There you go. Thank you.
We don't see him every day. We only see Tiger Woods when he wants to be seen.
Yes.
And he's going to look the best unless he's on the side of the road at 3 o'clock in the morning.
And we have seen him that way.
And we see him that way too. So, you know, it's
that's a good point.
Something's just not right there. And it's amazing to me in this society where we will troll grandmas and people's children on social media. And I know there's some, but people love him, man. People, and he's black.
Beloved.
He's black.
He's beloved.
I mean, he is beloved. I mean, people love, and I'm just like,
but look,
everyone's always willing to give him the doubt. Everyone's always willing to give him the shadow of a doubt and say, well, you know, we've all driven too fast. I'm like, wait a minute here. Something doesn't jive with that story. I'm not saying he was drunk or anything else like that. And I'm glad he's okay, and I'm glad he's alive, and I hope he goes back and plays golf. I do think, though, that he has opened up the world, the game of golf, to so Absolutely. Many people that would have never played without him. He's brought more money to the sport, and I think, but I can't help but think that Phil Mickelson's watching that going, yeah, I appreciate everything you've done, but it's probably time to
There's been lots of stories about his competitive nature and sort of this is well within the sport, the kind of, I don't know what you call it, the nasty but appropriate things that he does as a competitor.
Yeah.
The standing over the players, I don't know what you would call it. Golf has that, it's so, to me, and I'm not a golfer, but golf has this, it's almost two-faced.
Yeah.
Right? It's all about, it's gentleman and gentle lady sport.
Sure.
It's about cordialness. Yeah, but then behind the scenes, there's trash talking and,
oh yeah.
And it's a sport. It's a competitive sport, and he's always been that way. So,
well, that's why we love the John Daly's. We love the DeChambeau's. We love those guys that are like the weekend hackers. That's why Caddyshack was such a huge movie, because it took it so far to the right and it was hilarious.
I do,
because for weekend hackers like us, we do piss on the golf course. We do spit on the green. Right. We are telling nasty jokes on hole number 3.
I do bet Phil Mickelson's like, oh my God, come on.
Now, yeah, I think Phil and Tiger are friends. And I think Phil's done some stock things that are a little interesting. There has been stories for years that Phil and his wife are swingers. There's been all kinds of things.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's been all kinds of different stories about him, too. And I think he's just kind of like, but they've gotten through unscathed. But it's an amazing story. But I'm sitting there, the fact that it's been this long since the wreck in February, you know, before he finally came out,
9 months,
did a presser, was pretty amazing. But to your point, he looked fantastic. He looks great. He looks a lot older.
Yes,
I know he's got a little chip on his. He looks like
he's old.
He looks like his age now.
He's had five.
He's starting to look like his dad.
Five back surgeries.
Yeah,
five back surgeries and almost amputated. Like, it was amazing to me. And you make a really good point. When he first came out, I mean, I was looking, is he limping? Is he whatever? But then I looked at his face. He's got great skin.
Yeah,
like I just
he lost his hair and everything, but he's got great skin.
He looks like, doesn't look like us smoking cigars.
That's a genetic thing.
Well, he's got
black people age beautifully. They do.
Well, and he's also, what is he, Taiwanese? No, what is his mom? What's his mom?
I'm not sure.
Thai.
And you talk about the sex addiction thing. I think that's interesting, because if it was any other addiction, there'd be questions about what's going on with your, maybe there was something going on in the car that we don't know about. You don't have to be with someone to have a sex addiction.
No. Oh, this one. This accident.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm just saying. And there's been some guys that have tried some things going 80 miles an hour down the freeway. Oh. That's one of those things that's kind of, when someone has an addiction and they go to get help for it,
he did.
You know, they either celebrate their anniversaries, I don't know how you do that with sex addiction. Because,
no, you don't. Well, that because that's so taboo that you
if you're addicted to alcohol, but yet you're still allowed to drink, you just have to do it with the right person.
Well, dude, listen.
That's a weird addiction.
Well, but this is eating disorders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, we're happy he's back. I fully expect him to play golf again.
Well, and he said he's going to play selected.
And now everything's gravy because if he ends up not making the cut, we're like, well, look at the dude. He's a robot. He's got pins in his legs. He's got five surgeries. He's had a 9-iron upside of his head. He's had, and I can't imagine. And the one thing that I was concerned about was if he's taking all these medications for his back, and I don't know what he's on now. I'm sure he's taking some type of pain medication.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the thing that he does maybe what we all wish we could be like, in that we would love to be able to have the willpower and the heart and the faith and the intuitiveness to follow through on a physical therapy or any therapy.
That's a great point.
And I think that's just amazing because most of us would have one back surgery, wouldn't be playing golf again in our lives, and he's doing it at the highest level. And we like, wow, that inspires us.
That's what makes him him.
And he's human.
Yeah.
He cheated on his wife.
Yeah.
He drives too fast. He does imbibe. And so that's, we like
Well, but
that.
He's not like John, like we look at John Daly.
Yeah.
Now, has John Daly had any back surgeries?
No, I don't think so. He's had some things on his back, but not back surgeries.
I mean, I told you that, you know, the Kobe Bryant said, I didn't come back because, I mean, I decided this was my last year because I couldn't do the off-season rehab anymore.
Yep.
So I just couldn't do it. He said, I'm so injured. He's like, I did not have what it takes. This is what you're talking about, Tiger Woods. I didn't have what it takes mentally to get through it. I've done it however many years, mm-hmm. and I don't have it. I mean, it's interesting, and I know we're doing all sports, but I think Baker Mayfield is a Russell Wilson to a lesser extent, but I think the Baker Mayfield story is something that we're going to have to watch, mm-hmm. right? You know, he's getting just the crap beat out of him. He's injured as all get out. Roethlisberger's sort of the same thing. Roethlisberger's the same thing, but Baker Mayfield's young. He's getting injured like crazy. He keeps trying to get out there. I wonder how long he has before the cumulative effects, I'm not talking about CTEs or anything, right? The cumulative effects just make him unable at a much younger age to rehab.
Yeah. Speaking of the devil, your boy didn't play basketball last night. He's in COVID protocol, huh?
Who, LeBron?
LeBron James.
I thought he's vaccinated. Well, but there's still, the problem is, yeah, they're all.
He said he's vaccinated. He said that he was not vaccinated until recently. And then he did his homework and said, I'm vaccinated and so is my entire family.
Yeah, he may not have been. Well, you're right. He may not have been through the booster.
So it's either he either had an inadequate test or he tested positive for COVID. One of the two things. So he's out at least 10 days. They've said he's going to miss. He's the missing piece there for the Lakers. They have to have LeBron James.
There was rumors.
He's averaging 26-10 by the way.
There was rumors about their trading Russell Westbrook. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Come on.
Got to do what you got to do. Today is Antarctica Day.
Yay! Well, I don't know, what does that mean?
Oh, you celebrate that continent. It's the lost continent. It's the continent we never talk about.
They don't have COVID there, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
The polar bears do. Today is basketball day. Just basketball day. It's not international basketball. It's not national. It's just basketball day. It's just a day to celebrate the basketball.
The basketball. Now, is it the basketball day?
Oh, yeah. It's just the basketball.
So it's just the basketball. Is it the sport? Or is it just the
ball?
Oh,
no. I think we should just go with the ball.
Basketball day.
I tried to find some information. I couldn't find much. Today's Clark Kent's birthday. Today's Playboy Day. We celebrate Playboys.
Playboys or Playboy the brand?
Playboy the brand and Playboy. Just Playboy Day.
Okay, Playboy with your basketball.
Yeah. Okay. Playboy's just been the most bizarre thing because it really started, as far as I'm concerned, the whole porn industry. And then they stopped showing hoo-hoos, and then they went back to showing hoo-hoos, and now there's Hugh Hefner news, and there's some Playboy. They got the Playboy channel. Playboy still has a huge brand to
we
it.
We talked about
but
that.
It's not worth anything. It's weird. It's like there's still a lot to, it's like they're not being run right. Like, you guys didn't come along. You guys, the articles, blah, 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 used to be on the back of every toilet in America.
They could have made, now listen,
They could have really evolved.
They could have made the transition. They could have been, because they could have been, you look at like some
and
of the
all the dirtbags took Playboy and ripped it and went off and the Larry Flinted it to the point where now it's like,
right, it could have gone the other, yeah.
Yeah, but it's Playboy Day. Today is the Rockefeller lighting of the Christmas tree.
Oh, so great.
It's always the first Wednesday after Thanksgiving, so that's going to happen later on tonight. That today is Rosa Parks Day.
Is it really?
Today is Rosa Parks Day, yes. Today is Special Kids Day, celebrates kids with special needs, which I will certainly celebrate with my 14-year-old.
Wow, this is wonderful. There's a lot going on today.
And today is World AIDS Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so now this one, short of the basketball, and I'm biased because I'm basketball, this was, you didn't give me any stupid-ass ones.
There was a couple stupid ones, but I could not. For sake of the Curry and Klaipa show, want to make sure that when I'm giving you information, it's real. And so I found a couple things. I was like, this is not even a real day.
National horn blower.
Yeah. I was like, that's
well, not. Well, we may not get into it. It's also the first day of Barbados' independence.
There you have it.
Barbados. As of yesterday, they declared no more. They will
Who
not
are they
be,
with?
They're a queen. It was a territory of England.
Really?
So yeah.
Now they're on
So
their
they
own.
Got their own president. President, female. Yep. Prime minister, elected president, female. Prime minister, female.
Yes.
And then Rihanna.
You ever been to Barbados?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I've been to Barbados just once.
Yeah.
And we have a indirect connection to Rihanna. At least I try to use this because we saw Rihanna's cousin's house. And there was we were out in the water, and there was somebody at the house. So we're going to assume that was Rihanna's cousin.
Yeah.
So because of that, I believe that I have a connection with Rihanna.
Okay.
Well, she was also, and she was named.
Yeah.
Which I wish they would have come up with something better. She was named officially named Barbados National Hero. That's her official.
Yeah.
Like I feel like they could.
That's the first hero since they became independent.
Yeah, but still, like. Don't you think you're
I
like...
Could, I could think of better people to bestow it upon.
No, she is.
I mean, Rihanna. You could take someone like the ranks of like a Rosa Parks as opposed to like a Rihanna.
Rihanna's done... Oh,
yeah.
Come on, man. Don't diss
I'm sure
Rihanna.
She's probably got a house in the Barbados and she's going to help the tourism industry. Be careful now. You're 18 years old. You want her to move out.
She's not 18.
I'm talking about Barbados.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
You
yeah.
want her to move out. You're
this
on your
Hamilton.
Own.
This you're, is Hamilton. This is the United States.
You're on your own now.
This...
Okay.
This is what they said about
us. Unlike Puerto Rico that wants to move back in with mom
but
and dad.
But this is what they said about us, right? From England. They're like, okay.
That was 250 years ago.
Well, I think it is. Man, I think it is.
To great. Go independent now takes some chutzpah.
That's right.
Takes some balls, particularly in what we're going through right now in this world. That takes some balls to say, I'm moving out.
Well, you know, so interesting was just within the states. So California has danced with it for years.
Yeah.
Northern and Southern California have danced with it. We're going to be our own state. We don't.
Well, Texas has wanted to get out for years. Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. Texas. Yeah. Texas.
And quite frankly, Texas can go if they want to.
Well, they were going to, but then they had the whole freezing thing and no power.
Texas is messed up. My kid wants to go to college there, and I'm like,
no,
dude, it's 175 degrees, and then the next night it's 30 degrees. I know it's got a ton of money. See, this is God's little joke. Okay, I'm going to give you hell to deal with weather-wise, but I'm going to put some oil deposits here and everyone's going to be rich. So you got, I mean, Houston's a great city. Dallas is a great city. Austin's a wonderful city. There's all these, and people just pretend shit ain't working. It's like not happening. No, it's good. Go drill another barrel. We're good.
Well, and you know.
Seriously, isn't it crazy? I mean, it's amazing what money will make you deal
Texas
with a lot of crap.
Texas has the.
We have people listening in Fort Worth, by the way.
Yeah, and this is not good. Listen, I'm from L.A. Texas has what I call sort of the L.A. New York thing.
Yeah.
In that, you know, if you're from New York, there's New York. Nothing better than New York.
Yeah.
If you're from California, why would you want to be anyplace else?
Yeah.
Texas sort of has that same. We are Texas.
Yeah.
We are not from the South. Mm-hmm. We are Texas. We are not from the West. We are Texas. We are not anything, but we are Texas.
True. We talked about Kim and Kanye scene together last night. I want to get into this Jive thing, a science thing, which is really interesting. My daughter said something to me really interesting last night.
Dude, she needs, you know what? Here's what you need to do, because I don't think it's right for her. What is she, 9 now or 10?
9.
Okay. She can't have a TikTok channel because that's just not like, right? But she does. I've thought about this a lot last night. We either need to create Lila sayings by Lila that you put out like on Instagram or something or you go out on social media like TikTok and have it's representing her.
Yeah.
Because her, man, her stuff is, it's money.
Kids say the darnest things.
Yeah, but yeah.
She's in the shower last night.
She could have been on that show.
She was in the shower last night. She's got rat nest in the back of her head. I was like, you got to take a shower. I said, you got 5 minutes. Because we all had to shower up. I said, you got 5 minutes.
She brush out her own
hair? Has it takes to. She tries, but she puts conditioner in. She sits there and she tells me to bring the scissors and I'm cutting. And, okay. And the whole.
And then my
ex gets super pissed off at me when she gets back to her house and it's just like a rat hair and she has to work it out. And I'm like, sorry. I mean, she takes showers. She won't let me brush her hair. So. But I'm like, but if you don't shower, obviously your hair gets kind of matted up. And I said, why don't you just go short hair? And she's like, people make fun of me. I'm like, okay, well, then you're going to have to start brushing. Anyway, she takes a shower, and she'd like someone to be in the bathroom with her while she takes a shower. So I was sitting in there, and go get the scissors. I'm getting the scissors, blah, blah, blah. And she says, and the door's open a little bit, and she says, hey. And I'm sitting there on my phone just bebopping around. She says, hey, she says, sometimes, total seriousness. My daughter's a trip. She's a creative butterfly, man. She's like, sometimes I watch you when you're doing really weird things and you don't know I'm watching you.
Okay, and stop right, like, there. Let's listen for our audience. She's 9.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's. She's 9. Go ahead.
And it makes my head hurt trying to realize how I'm related to you. I said, what? Yeah, and at first, like for just like a millisecond, it hurt my feelings. But then yeah. I just started laughing. I couldn't stop laughing. She goes, it makes my head hurt trying to realize how you and I could be possibly related. And I said, I could not stop laughing. And I'm like, and you could tell she said something that could be considered hurtful, but it was so innocent. And I started laughing and she's like, whew. And she goes, do you remember that one time you were tickling? I have a 14-year-old son, Xavier. He was 155, 160 pounds.
Six foot eight.
Cognitively, he's around about a 7 or 8 year old mm-hmm. and still loves the things that 7 or 8 year olds love to do. He loves Thomas the Trains. He loves to be tickled. He loves to wrestle. And he's a big kid. I mean, he's 5'7". And so I, as much as my body can take,
right.
when I get around him, I brace, and he loves compression through all of his physical and mental challenges. He loves compression, so he likes to be hugged and wrestled with. And so she sees me doing a lot of crazy things with him. We do some other personal things that I will not share. Probably some father to go. But if you got a special needs individual, a special needs kid, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about on Special Kids Day today. Yeah. And so she sees that, and she just thinks it's hilarious. And I said, listen, I said, here's something you need to understand. I said, as your dad, and we've been through a lot because we went through a divorce and everything back in May. I said, I will do whatever it takes to make things as fun and as hopeful and as positive as I possibly can in your life. I said, I have my things I deal with. There's nothing you can do to help me, just but love me. And I said, you don't need to see those things. And so I try to do the best I can to when they're around, make things as fun as possible. We get things done. We have some serious moments. There's discipline and all those things. But I like to make sure that things are as positive, as hopeful as I can. And I said, if that means dad acting kind of weird, I was in the doctor's office with my kid yesterday. He doesn't have strep or mono. He's got the viral thing. And I let one rip in the doctor's office. It was great. It was so loud. It was, no? She had just walked out. Because I'm going to keep things, you know. I couldn't hold it. And it was so loud because it was coming out the stainless steel top. It was so loud. And of course, I blew.
What did your son do?
He actually laughed really, really hard because it was so, it wasn't dead. It was like he lost it because it was so loud. And then, of course, I blamed. And I went to the doctor. I said, did you hear that? I said, he's got gas problems too. I said, it was funny. So I always
keep it weird.
Thanks.
You're sweet and weird.
Could you imagine though your daughter walking up to you saying, "I can't figure out how you and I are even."
Well,
related.
I have some hypotheses.
Because normally that would be after some big ass fight. That'd be something a wife would say. I can't believe I even married you.
Hey, hang on.
Yeah. You think that came from her mother?
So one of the things that happens in divorce, not all of it.
That's a good
because
point.
She's 9, you know, because so there's bits and pieces. You will hear kids say things.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just happen in divorce, right? It happens in marriage. Kid will come down, say something. You'll be like, okay, that wasn't you. That was channeling you, you know. It gets more interesting in divorce because you're not there. So when you're married and your child says something, you know, and you know that it's your spouse that you can go right up. But when it's divorced, it's different camps.
Yeah.
So like you don't know what the context of the conversation is, and because she's 9, there could have been bits and pieces that she brought back.
She's very receptive to outside things.
Coupled with her own insights, and you get
I told her, I said, you need to get that hair brushed out or your mom's gonna be pissed off at me. Because she said mom's gonna be pissed off at you.
You.
Because right. My hair, and I said, well then fix your hair. Get in there and put some stuff, and we're gonna do a little at a time. We'll take a shower every day this week.
Yep.
And we'll do a little at a time, but we're not staying in here because you're gonna be here for 3 hours, it's not gonna come out. And she's like, mom's gonna be so mad. I said, your mom doesn't get mad at me. Your mom loves me.
See, and so
you should have seen her face. She was like,
so you can only
she's
imagine.
Like, yeah, right, Dad. I said, your mom thinks the world of me. And she started laughing, and she was like, okay.
So can you imagine what's being said now when she goes to see her mom?
Yeah, well, that's why I got to stay positive and hopeful.
I think what you should do is to suggest that Lila go for dreadlocks.
Well, it wouldn't get, or at least braid it, so it couldn't get.
Why don't you do that and send her home? Send her back to her mom's.
Have her looking like Bo Derek, mm-hmm. running down the beach.
Mm-hmm. From Barbados, you can get that done in Barbados.
Yeah, we have some classic rock news we'll get into in a minute. Something about Steve Perry that I think is very, very interesting. We'll talk about that. The Foo Fighters are going on the road. Chicago's going on the road with Brian Wilson. That's weird. We'll talk about that in a second.
Really?
They're going to do a Beach Boys Chicago thing.
That's not going to be good.
It's time to hang. Chicago on its own.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's like Chicago. Okay. Chicago. I don't even know who's in Chicago anymore. I don't think Pete Cetera's in the band anymore. I don't know. But when you start clumping on... Let's get Brian Johnson and let's get one of the guys from the Stray Cats. And it sounds horrible. It doesn't sound like it's a good show.
One of the guys from Stray Cats.
Yeah.
Who else is out there? See if Dave Grohl is available.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. Talk about one of our great sponsors, and I'm going to jump back into the story. We're not going to a break yet. When we do a break here, we play classic rock. Go figure.
Yes.
We do our commercials during our show. We don't have a ton of commercials. We take care of our clients. We got some new clients coming up, by the way, that I'm super excited about. But when I say I'm taking a break, we're playing music, for God's sake.
Yeah,
it's not really a break. It's classic rock. But talk about one of our great sponsors, and then I want to get into this story about Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, let me tell you about Vituro Health. Vituro Health, you talked to Clee Walker yesterday. Vituro Health is such an important company. 1 out of 9 men are going to develop prostate cancer. You all hear me say this every single day, because prostate cancer is one of the most treatable forms of cancer. And so to not be in a position where you're recognizing the signs early, you're taking care of the cancer, you're getting back to health, is just, it's a shame. And Vituro Health is there with a really important message. Number one, guys, you need to have a blood test every year and have your prostate examined to make sure that things are going okay. Number two, if you develop prostate cancer, Vituro Health is there developing new forms of treatment. And those treatments are what we call minimally invasive, which means that you may not be out for months. You may not even require surgery. Things can be done in a way that are not as invasive, which may not produce the negative sexual side effects that a lot of guys are worried about, some of the incontinence issues. Go get educated today. Go to their webpage. They're an amazing company. It's Vituro Health. The webpage is VituroHealth.com.
I don't know why this Maxwell story is so interesting. Maybe because Epstein's dead. Because I know her lawyers are saying she's a scapegoat. I do think she's guilty of something. I'm not sure what that is, whether it's setting him up with 12-year-olds or whatever. But I think it's a really interesting story. So we'll talk about that in just a second. Science Facts, which is a...
we don't believe in science anymore, remember?
Yeah, right. they came out yesterday with this. They do this thing every year where they come up with like 30 science facts for the year.
Okay,
which I thought was really interesting. And so they threw these little nuggets out, and usually, you know, I hear them, I'm like, I knew that, or okay.
This is from who? I didn't even know about
science
that.
Facts.
Okay,
it's under at Weekly Sci-Fact on Twitter. The sun's core is so hot that a pinhead-sized piece of it would give off enough heat to kill someone 160 miles away.
Let's ponder that for a minute. Damn.
I knew this. When hammering wood, a woodpecker wraps its long tongue around its brain to help withstand forces 250 times greater than a rocket launch. I heard a woodpecker this morning. It was the loudest woodpecker I had ever heard. It sounded like a chainsaw.
Was it a pelletated whatever it was?
You know, I think those are on the endangered species list.
I haven't seen one in my house.
We have a woodpecker issue. There's for some reason, yeah, there's a lot less woodpeckers.
How do I get rid of the chipmunks eating on my bird seed?
I don't know, but I've got one inside my wall upstairs.
Really? Mine are drowning.
And my Christmas tree went off this morning. If that damn
thing went off.
My lights don't work.
It's because you got non-LED. You got the
I reset everything. The timer's working and the outlet.
You got one.
The outlet's not. It's a damn squirrel and my wall's eating my wires because two of my other outlets. I need to call an electrician. Loch Ness, the lake.
Yeah.
Is deep enough and long enough to contain the entire population of the world 10 times over.
No.
See, that's one of those. Really?
No.
That's from science.
No.
It's pretty deep. That's why they haven't found that monster.
Well, you'd have to, but I mean, okay. But no one would have any personal space.
No, if you just laid bodies on top of each other, but 10 times over. That's a head scratcher.
Yeah.
Spider silk, for its weight, stronger than steel.
Yeah, we know that.
Been calculated that a pencil-thin strand would be able to stop a Boeing 747 mid-flight.
Wait, what?
If you had a pencil width of spider silk and you flew a 747 into it, it would break the plane apart. I believe that.
How?
Spider silk is really, but if you took enough spider silk to make a one or a half inch wide spider thing,
okay,
it would stop an airplane.
Yeah, okay, that's why Spider-Man is so effective.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
All the gold ever mined, 165,000 tons in the history of the world, would only fill the space of three Olympic-sized swimming pools.
That's why they're always... Sorry.
Are people willing to kill for it?
On, what is it called? Oh, my God. Gold Watch? No, Gold Rush. That's why they never find anything on Gold Rush.
No, I mean, they find something that's so small you can't even see it. You're like, you got to find a lot of specks of gold.
Gold Rush?
I do. I watch those shows in hopes to find something. The whole...
Jules gets on. I'm like, wait, okay, hang on. So I watch, this is my, what is it, guilty pleasure?
Yeah.
I watch Gold Rush. I watch Deadliest Catch. And by the way, Vanderpump, Vanderhouse... Rules, Ender, but you gotta watch. Oh, you gotta watch that. But I watch Gold Rush, and Jules will come in. She sees me watching, and she's like, she does it all the time. She's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm watching Gold Rush. It's Gold Rush. They're going for 1,000 grand." She's like, she's like, "Here's what's gonna happen," and it happens every year. Or I mean, it happens every episode. One of the machines are gonna break.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to leverage all of their wealth. It's going to come down to the last minute. They're going to go to commercial break, and then they're going to come out with whatever gold dust, you're going to watch the scale, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, but you never know.
Yeah.
A flip from that, by the way, then, you know, it was on last night on ESPN.
What's that?
The Dream Team show again.
Oh, there you go.
I love the Dream Team.
156 miles an hour is the top speed recorded by a downhill skier. That's fast.
Oh, jeez.
Fog.
Does that, like, blow your mind?
156 miles an hour.
Fast,
yeah, that's crazy. I would have thought 90 or 95. Okay. Fog is made up of tiny droplets of water, so small that it would take 7 million of them to make up a single tablespoon of water. It's pretty amazing because I get condensation on the windshield of my car.
Yeah, okay.
Our supply of helium is going to run out by 2050.
No.
Yet we still use 8% of it on party balloons. A gun is started, usually starts sprinters instead of a flash. You know why?
Wait, what?
A gun is used to start sprinters.
Real
instead
guns?
Of,
real...
No, starter guns, you know, fake guns, instead of flashes. You know why?
Why?
Because the brain cannot react fast enough to audible bangs in a visual flash. A discarded plastic bag was found on the seafloor on the deepest ever sub dive at 10 miles below the surface last week.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Elephant trunks can suck up water at speeds of 335 miles per hour.
Dude, you do not want to get... Mm-mm. That's like the vacuum... you know what that is? That's your vacuum cleaner with the wires.
Yeah, I got a blower, and I bought the latest blower,
oh,
and
I
it says it
too.
Blows 265 miles an hour. It doesn't do shit. I mean...
Is your now gas
if it rains,
or electric?
It's electric, but it said 265 miles an hour. The last one I had was like 80. I was like, okay, this thing's going to be blown.
I just got one too.
It's like that lawyer commercial with the leaves. And it's, I mean, I got the rake out. I was like, this is ridiculous.
It's because it's electric.
It takes longer to blow leaves than it does to rake them.
You need electric. Or is it battery pack or just electric? It's electric,
It's electric.
Yeah, because they got battery pack ones. Now, I go for gas. I know it's not good, but I go gas. I just got a new one from Amazon. 220 miles an hour.
Mine's 265. Do you know that I blew
leaves from one part of my house. I was blowing them off the gutters.
Yeah.
And it blew off so powerfully that I wanted to just see what would happen. You know, my house is pretty steep.
Yeah.
So I ended up blowing all of my leaves off one side of the roof.
Yeah.
Back down the other side of the roof onto my driveway.
There you go.
And onto the roof. And then I just kept going back and forth and back and forth. And Jules said, what are you doing? You know, I'm
Jules says that a lot, doesn't she?
Well, because I do strange shit out there. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's 220
miles. Does she ever wonder how she's related to you?
So there's two things that both my mom and now my wife wonder. My kids do too. They look at me sometimes and they go, you got a PhD? Mm. Like, yeah. They're like, really? How'd you do that? And I'm like, I was younger then.
Yeah. There's a species of jellyfish now that never dies. Did you know that? I read that somewhere. It's immortal. It regenerates a younger version of itself when its cells die, so it never dies.
Do we have anything like that?
I don't think so.
Is that the only thing?
They found a jellyfish that was like 1 million years old a couple of weeks ago.
Wow, that's interesting.
The Eiffel Tower grows and shrinks by 15 centimeters over a year due to expansion and contraction. When birds fly in the V formation, this is one of my favorite times of the year when the birds fly south. Is that one time where you go and there's just like a trillion birds and they fly for like 10 minutes over the highway. I love that. When birds fly in the V formation, they sink their wing beats for the best flying efficiency.
That's pretty awesome.
The Western painted turtle can survive the whole winter without breathing.
Why does it do that? Turtles breathe.
The flags left on the moon have been bleached white due to exposure to UV light and extreme heat.
Okay.
Sunflowers can be used to clean up radioactive waste.
Really? Oh, see, not like...
Two-thirds of the world's population has never seen this. Snow.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's pretty amazing how many people down here have never seen snow.
Never?
I was talking to someone the other day, and they were like, wouldn't it be great to get snow? I said, yeah, it happens about once every 5 or 6 years. I think JP Dice told us once every 5 or 6 years we get something, a dusting or something. But I would bet that half the people in Birmingham never
seen
snow.
We get it more than one. It was only 1 in 5 or 6 years?
Yeah.
No, we get a little bit. Like, you know, the where you have to look really carefully.
Yeah, I think snow is like where you can actually see it on the ground.
Oh, dude, when I was
like
a
people
kid,
see frost, they think it's snow. It's like, yeah, snow.
When I was a kid and it snowed in the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We were skiing on asphalt.
Yeah. Humans are bioluminescent. We glow in the dark.
We do?
But 1,000 times weaker than humans are able to see. So we're bioluminescent, but our eyesight isn't able to see the bioluminescence because our eyesight is 1,000 times weaker than what it would take to see it.
Wonder what can see it?
Wombats are the only known species to produce square poop. It takes 40,000 years for light to get from the center of the sun to its surface, but it only takes 8 minutes to get to the Earth.
I have a hard time. That's a physics sort of astronomy thing. My brain does not work that
way. There wasn't Bill Nye. It was some dude that was trying to explain our outer space and our planets because we're so used to seeing the thing the kids make where everything's kind of floating around. Right. It's like, oh, okay. And it's like, I can see Saturn. So I'm like, it's right there. So we think that there's like a lid on the world as we know it. And it's like, and so he did something where he actually stepped stuff off, like using like little balls as planets and stepped things off in a field. It was mind blowing. It blew my, it made me think it was like, I'm just a speck of sand on the beach of life. It was like, it was amazing. It really put in perspective just how big the world is. The outer ears of no two humans are exactly alike, so they can be used as a form of ID.
The outer ears?
Yeah, but if you go in and you get like a crime or something, they don't want you putting ink all over your ear. But yeah, your ears, every ear is different.
Okay. Wow. Well, okay. Well, I guess if your hands get hacked off.
Yeah. Waste from the International Space Station, including used underwear, is loaded into used supply ships and released to burn up in the atmosphere as shooting stars. There you go. Some things you were wondering about. So this Ghislaine Maxwell story is really interesting. It's really sick. It's disgusting, but there's a part of it that is like a little exciting to me.
Really?
Yeah, I think a lot of people. Just
the
whole party
Jane that came forward.
The parties, and I mean, whenever you're talking about kids, man, it just it's like
that's
it's,
what I mean.
It's like when I was watching The Hangover the first time, and I heard the baby in the closet. I'm like, please don't have a baby in this. Don't have a baby in this right. movie. Thank God it didn't turn out to be anything, because that movie, anything went.
Yeah.
You're like, okay. It's like, oh, you hear a baby crying. I'm like, oh, no, yeah. please don't go there, right, guys, right. right? So when it comes to kids, it's off the table. But Jeffrey Epstein obviously was a creep. He will not be convicted because he's dead. And I don't think a lot of people were happy that he took his own life, so we wouldn't have to spend millions and millions of dollars to convict him. So Ghislaine Maxwell is now obviously the missing piece, or the piece that's left. And a lot of her defense lawyers and a smart move are saying that she's being used as a scapegoat. And because he's dead, they have to blame somebody, and she's the next in line, right?
Yeah.
And I don't have, I'm just speaking from my opinion, I don't have any doubt that she's guilty of something.
Right.
Their relationship was really weird.
Yep.
In the fact that they were together for a period of time, and then she kind of worked for him, and then it's a weird world we live in, man. How you can be in love with somebody enough to want to be with them, and then you're setting them up with other people, in this particular case, and children. I don't know how, and I know people have come forward, and it's almost must read stuff, because when you hear about something, and it's disgusting. It's a train wreck. It's a car crash.
It is.
You know that someone's died in a car crash, but you have to look at it anyway.
Yeah.
That's the sick part I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's the little part of excitement that comes. It's like walking through a tornado zone.
Yes.
It's like, you know, it's masthead of it, but you want to see it. So I want to hear the specificities of what exactly happened here. But then I read it and I go, oh, it's just, and to think that somehow somebody had that much power to induce or encourage children and even adults.
Yes.
And then I think the other part that's really interesting to this thing, and we've talked about this on our show a million times, you've got a friend of yours that is super powerful, super wealthy, super rich, does some weird, eccentric, strange things. And then you've got that other person going, why are you hanging out with him? And they're like, he never done anything to me. He's been a friend of mine for a long period of time. And it doesn't have to be powerful or rich to have that person.
Right.
You know, this person's done this. Well, I've never seen that. They've never treated me that way. They've never said that to me. And I've been friends with that person, and I know them differently than you do. Okay. The fact that every famous person, it seems like, in the world has been seen with this dude, what does that tell you? Princes, princesses, presidents, have you been on the plane? Have you been to his compound? And I'm like, okay, so.
And right at what point?
It doesn't surprise me that Bill Clinton was buddies with him. But Bill Clinton is Bill. It's like, okay, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I know.
But it does surprise me that the prince has been associated with. I mean, and so they're making all these connections. Like, if you even got an email from Jeffrey Epstein, you're convicted in the court of public opinion. And I'm kind of like, wait a minute here. This was a really powerful guy that was moving a lot of strings and had a lot of control over a lot of different things. And he was a person that obviously people wanted to be around. This should just tell you that just because someone's super powerful, it's not always great to be associated with them in any way. And I'll make the other obvious thing here. Bill or Donald Trump has gotten hammered over the years for all the pictures he takes with people. Whether it's Kim Jong-un, whether it's horrible people, rapists, convicted felons. I mean, he's like, I'm on the road all the time. People want to get a picture taken with me, and I'm sitting there with my thumbs up with Rittenhouse. I mean, it's like, and so I kind of get that. You know, I kind of get that. But you would think that someone would go, hey, listen, this is a convicted killer who's with the good old boys. Probably not a good picture op here, because they're going to post it. Next thing you know, they're going to be best friends with you. Do you get it? So I don't really understand.
Why am I laughing? It's so terrible.
I don't understand.
It's terrible. I know.
I mean, there's a lot of people that would love to have their picture taken with O.J. Simpson, even though they think he's guilty.
Because we don't. Well, it's what we were saying about Brian Kelly. It's like there's different levels of this, right? You know, there's the whole have your picture taken, be associated with somebody. You said like kind of at our level, regular people. He's not such a good guy. You know, but he's never done anything to me. I don't know about you. You're a local celebrity. I'm sure you've had that.
I've had several.
Sorry, you know I love you. Which way? Which is, people say, oh, look,
he's a freak.
He's Tony Kerr. You need to be really careful about that. But the other way, hey, you know, you may not want to publicly associate because it's bad optics.
Yeah, I've never had that with me, but yeah.
I think that what ends up happening is at any level, you said it, there's almost a defensiveness. There's almost a, it's a weird sort of, because somebody's calling you out, you know, hey, this guy or gal, they got it's a little sketchy, you know, you may want to back off. And I think what's interesting about it is if you've already established the relationship, there's somewhere between defending them and defending your own decision to associate with them.
Like, how many people right now would have a picture taken with Bill Cosby or R. Kelly?
A lot.
I would just say I was in a picture with R. Kelly.
It's
not to say that just because you're getting your picture taken with somebody doesn't endorse their actions.
Well, okay. So now this is that's a really good example.
And would I want my picture taken with Hitler if he was still alive?
No, but see, okay. So that's, well, and this is where I would argue against this is, so you're going to take a picture with R. Kelly or Bill Cosby. You're going to put your arm around them? Or are you going to just stand there? Because it makes a difference.
Yeah.
Right?
No, with Bill Cosby, I would probably put my arm around
him. And you'd still do it now. You see, this is because I do, the reason I say that.
And I'd probably post it.
There you go. And I would be disappointed in you.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the whole point. It's saying, oh, I'm going to get a picture with O.J. Simpson or Bill Cosby because they're famous.
Well, it depends on whether you think he's guilty or not. He's a free man right now. Did he pay his debt to society? So I've had my pictures taken with murderers before.
So now, okay.
I have.
So that, if in your caption, you know, when you're posting on social media.
I'm killing to put this picture out.
No, but that's what I'm saying is you say, okay, this. You have a picture with somebody like that. You associate with someone like that. You are making some sort of statement because they are infamous.
Yeah.
Right? So your statement, you better be able to live with whatever your statement is. And if you said, okay, Bill Cosby, he's paid his time. He's a free man. And because of that, I stand for freedom. And so here's my picture with Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
I'd still hammer on your ass. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But that, I mean,
and it would probably get retweeted 100 million times.
Well, you just see, that's the sick thing about us,
yeah,
right? So, but I think it's different. Hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein, you do wonder, minus the nasty, bizarre stuff, how did it behoove a Bill Clinton? Like, what was it that Epstein had besides what we think he had? You know what I'm saying? Bill Clinton doesn't need to hang out with him.
I think the Jeffrey Epstein thing, and I'm probably going to catch some crap for this, but I'm just going to go here because I believe this. Because the media takes the juiciest, best pieces
right,
and blows it up.
Right.
I don't think Jeffrey Epstein was having orgies 24 hours a day.
Not 24
with 14-year-olds.
No.
Okay?
Not 24.
Right. I don't think Ghislaine Maxwell was having orgies 24 hours a day, and I don't think she was constantly out there trying to find him 13-year-olds to have sex with. I do think it happened. I don't know how many times it happened. They had the sex plane. I don't believe the plane was the sex plane. I believe it was a plane that was used for transportation that sex was had on, and because sex was had on it, all of a sudden, if you're on that plane, you are having sex with a 13-year-old. That's what the media does, because that's the sexy part. That's the part that sells. We don't care about Jeffrey Epstein and the fact that he's a criminal or a convict or a freak or a pervert. We care about the fact that it was underage girls and there were how many of them? I don't know. That's the sexy part the sick, sexy part that the media likes to, because that's the part that sells.
Right.
And that's the whole thing with Ghislaine Maxwell. I'm not saying she's a nice woman. I'm not. She comes from an incredibly affluent family, so she didn't need that power. She didn't. She gave the Maxwell family, for God's sake. She didn't need to do anything. She didn't have to work a day in her life.
Well, that
And so that's the other part. It's like, okay, now they're trying to make the connection between her and her family. You know, it's kind of like, it was almost like at a much different level when Paris Hilton started posing nude and stuff. And it's like, it's the Hilton family. Is that going to hurt their brand or help it? Well, now in the long run, it's really helped the Hilton family. They're making more money than they've ever made because of Paris and all the crazy things she did. Now she's married and wants to have kids and stuff. So I think that, yeah, that's a part that certainly shouldn't be ignored. And that's the part you need to go after because that's the illegal part. Well, it's the sick part. But I don't think that just because you were seen with Jeffrey Epstein meant that you either liked him, you wanted to hang out with him, or you were having sex with one of the girls he was bringing in. Now, do I think that there were some situations where Jeff said, we have some dignitaries here, so I need a flock of women for tonight, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Do I think that happened? Yeah, I do. But that happens at a... I gotta be careful here. That happens a lot.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you, it happens at your favorite university every weekend.
That's right.
What in the hell happens when your 17-year-old son goes to the University of Alabama or Auburn for a recruiting weekend?
Right.
That's the best. One of the Tigerettes.
Yep.
They find three or four of the finest looking girls, sorority girls. Would you mind showing Jimmy and the Jimmy and Joes around the campus this weekend?
Right.
Why do you think they do that? They don't take the big fat chicks and go, here, show them the strip tonight. No, they take the most attractive girls. There's a whole group of them. We used to see the fax machine girl. It happens in all facets. It happens in rock and roll a lot. I've seen green room lists. Hell, I told you my Def Leppard story. Mm-hmm. Here's seven backstage passes. Go find me seven good-looking girls. We want to have some fun during the show tonight. During the concert. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time, well, and a lot of times it happens because women are not only available, but willing to put themselves out there. School teachers making it with Joe Elliott during Rocket. I mean, I've seen it at every single level. So, you know, with power comes a lot of really dangerous, crazy things. And again, I think he's a scumbag. I think he's a perv. I'm glad he's gone. I don't know how far Ghislaine Maxwell was involved in that, but she obviously was seen with him most than anyone else, and so she had to know what was going on, and I do believe she partook in some of those sick rituals.
But that's where the power, listen, that's where the power corrupts. You become brazen. You become the belief that you're untouchable.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we've seen it over and over again, and the debate always is, the interesting psychological debate is, and we talk about hubris, and this came out with Matt Lauer.
You could even make an argument with Governor Cuomo.
Well, yeah.
We're hearing more stuff about him now. And his
right. And so because
son's got kicked off of CNN because of it.
Yeah, that was interesting. I watched the next. Anyway, what's interesting to me is, as a psychologist, were you primed to be corrupted because of who you are, how you were raised, what your genetic predisposition is? In other words, were you either a bad egg to begin with or ripe to be a bad egg? Or were you fine, let's just call it fine in quotation marks, and as you became more powerful, they call this hubris, that is sort of the power corrupted you. And the jury's out, because I can't speak for myself. I definitely think that there are warning signs early on for people who are more likely to go down a bad path as power comes in. I think everybody who gains power in their lives is in a position where is in a position to make really bad judgment calls. I'll give you the most basic example that I can think of that brings us back is parenting. That's the one I can think about. As soon as you become a parent, maybe dog ownership, that's the pet ownership. Yep. You go from being, and I shouldn't equate the two, but it is the same. You go from being just you to you owning and having influence and control over something.
Yep.
In some cases, it's a living organism, and in other cases, that living organism is a human being. And we've talked about this. We see this in parenting. We see parents all the time, and I will admit, and I think every parent has been there, that feeling of, I own you.
Mm-hmm.
I own you, and my transgressions are none of your concerns.
Yep.
And so imagine that, though, getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you don't have the connection, this is my child, this is my loved one, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, where all of your decision-making, leads in the short run to anything that you want it to be. And this is where morality, the whole idea of morality is fascinating when it comes to corruption, because what we have to rely on when we get in these incredibly compromising positions of power is something that tells us, don't do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how many times we've seen it? We've seen it with clergy. We've seen it with presidents. It's almost as if I was going to say most of us. See, this is the problem. Here's the problem. Because there's lots of people, for all the ones of the Epsteins, et cetera, we could create a list of people, public figures that have been,
It almost feels like anybody in a powerful position, depending on what that power is, but it could be the power over your own company.
Yes.
It could be a president. It could be an enormous amount of power. It could be celebrity. It could be R. Kelly.
Yeah.
It could be Bill Cosby, it could be Cuba Gooding Jr., who's probably going to go down. His trial starts next month. It could be all these different things. And it only takes one girl. And they're all men. I mean, every case I can think of is men. You don't hear about Blondie sexually abusing people or the Go-Go's sexually abusing little boys.
Well,
it's always men in powerful positions, whether it's the Governor Cuomo. I mean, there's a list of, college football coaches, Bob Kraft. We could go on and on
Right.
Deshaun Watson. I mean, there's
sports.
We could sit here for
three. You can take every single category.
And that's why, with that power, all it takes, and I think about rock and rollers all the time because I see women throwing themselves at rock and rollers. And they're women. I've known women that I'm like, I know their hearts. I know what they're at. And they're just, they're butter on the floor when it gets in front of their favorite celebrity, their favorite rock and roller, and they're throwing themselves at them, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's a bachelor party.
Yeah.
To take it back. And listen, I'm not going to poo-poo on having a good time, and certainly I've been there, done that. But when you're having a bachelor party, the girls is going around guy to guy to guy, you're kind of like, what are we doing here?
This is where it
gets uncomfortable and it gets out. And I think that's one of those situations where all it takes is one girl to do it and like it and say it's okay. And then you think that all women are the same way. Well, she came to my house. Yep. Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
She came to my hotel room naked. What was I supposed to do? Well, and that's what you find out you're made of. And when that's happening over and over and over again, and you have an appetite for sexual contact and intimacy. Maybe you're not married. Maybe you are married. You're not getting it at home. Maybe you're on the road because you're kissing your wife goodbye and you're kissing your girlfriend hello, whatever that thing is. I'm not saying that. I think a lot of people will just say no. I don't think it's that easy.
Well, because you're going in the sexual place. So think about, go broader. Decisions about, who to hire, who to fire. Decisions about how much salary you should take. Decisions about what kind of people you let into your circle and you don't let into your circle. There's all of these opportunities as you gain power. You're constantly faced, and that's why I bring it back to parenting. You're constantly faced with decisions where you can either make sort of a good decision or a bad decision. And as you get more powerful, those decisions have more implications for other people, right? Mm-hmm. And it takes is one transgression. You say this all the time. You never cheat once, or you never, what is it? You never cheat once. You're only caught the second time.
No, you never get caught the first time you cheat, the first time you steal, or the first time you do anything. It's always, but it gets, as you do it, more and more and more. And I believe that It's like looking at porn or anything else that's wrong. You do it, and the more you do it, the more desensitized you get to it, the easier it gets.
But I do believe that
or it's drunk driving. But it's anything that would be wrong.
I mean, we hear those stories, and we hear less of. Although, again, I think we've gotten to the point where, like, I was thinking like Bill Gates. I was like, when the Bill Gates story broke, and the transgressions, you know, and I'm like, really, Bill Gates? You know, like.
Well, he had the people around him to say, listen. And it wasn't. He didn't. I don't know if he had an extramarital affair, but we heard about the email that he sent.
Yeah.
And it's. But it wasn't with multiple women.
No.
It was a one time yes. deal. It was a transgression, and they called him out on it.
Yes.
And unfortunately, okay, that's the thing, because we live in a society now with social media and post, and there's cameras all over the place, that the only way it stops is to get caught.
Yes. Well, yeah, and.
That's why when we see celebrities like Mr. Rogers or, and I'm using kids people here, Tom Brady, LeBron James, that's why the Kobe Bryant thing was such a head scratcher, because we knew Kobe Bryant was like, but it didn't surprise me because I had heard stories about what NBA players do on the road. It's just when you get a guy that doesn't cheat and doesn't go down that road. Did it surprise you that Robert Kraft? I just thought he was too old to even want to enjoy something like that.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, there's no doubt that when you've got the money and the wherewithal and the resources to get whatever you want, whenever you want it, you're going to partake in that. And it just becomes a part of your routine.
See, I think that I believe.
And I think so. I think that's where Deshaun Watson got burned too.
I believe that. And it's so hard to get here, but I believe that it should be, you can't make it mandatory, but it should be part of your own belief is as you are rising in power in anything. Again, this is why we have marital therapy. This is why we have parenting experts, right? Or your pediatricians or whatever, that it is incumbent on you to make this, to accept the following. You will become biased and corrupt as you gain power. You will need to lean on people who don't tell you what you want to hear. You will have to, like, you have to have people in your inner circle that you will listen to. And I say this because if you think about, your first relationship or your first time you're a parent.
Yeah.
Right. You think you know it all, then you realize you don't know it all, and so what do you end up doing? At least a lot of people do. They call their parents.
Yeah.
Right. The parents who they never listened to, and they're like, "Oh my God, my kid's screaming. What did I do when I was a child?" Like, we have to trust the fact. And I know religion talks about being, you know, we all sin, but I'm going to do it this way. We all make errors and biases as we navigate through life. This is why you need somebody watching your ass. In good marriages, you watch each other's asses.
Yeah.
Right? In good relationships, our friendship, you're watching my butt.
Yeah.
You see me doing things that you don't think are right, you'll tell me. But the problem we have is as we get more and more like, oh, this works for me, this works for me, I don't need Tony to tell me what to do.
Yep.
We have to put our trust that we can't navigate life on our own without getting input from our friends, family, clergy, whatever.
Yep.
Just.
Yep. And that's why it's important to make sure that you have someone to call your ass out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole, don't let me do this, don't let me do this, don't let me do this, right. Let me do this. Okay. I told you not to let me do this. Well. You know, and it's why it's important to have a close-knit group of people, and like Brian Kelly when he's talking to his football team. I'm like, dude, did your wife not say something to you about how to approach your football team?
Urban Meyer is a good example. Another one is you get to this place, and this is when you've become corrupt. And I say corrupt, I'm not equating Brian Kelly to Jeffrey Epstein, but you become corrupt when the people that are in your inner circle and are telling you, dude, you're making a mistake. Don't do this. You've become corrupt, brainwashed by power when you say, I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. It happens. It's corruption. It is also one step deeper. We usually do it when we know we're wrong,
mm-hmm.
but we're too afraid, scared to admit that we're wrong in this decision because we don't know how it'll all play out.
Yeah.
See it with CEOs all the time, mm-hmm. right? Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
I've made this, I made this decision that I needed to make, and I really effed up on the way that I communicated to my team.
Yeah.
And you're right, six people miss it. Okay, Brian, call the team in, and I got this.
Yeah. Hey, we do have something going on later on tonight to Livewire Wednesday. It's our AC/DC show. We do it every single Wednesday night from 8 until 9 o'clock. I always said that if I had my own radio station, and I do, Tony Curry Radio, that I do a whole hour of AC/DC. It's my favorite band, and we do it every Wednesday night from 8 until 9 o'clock, brought to you by Southern Precision Staffing for all your staffing needs. It is Southern Precision Staffing, 205-682-2828. They're right here in Hoover, Alabama. They serve the United States of America. They're fantastic. They do a wonderful job. I love Baywatch. And I know Kai's probably watching that too. His son's a huge AC/DC fan, so we'll get after it later on tonight live at 8 o'clock. 205-682-2828, 205-682-2828, where your handshake and your words still mean something. It's Southern Precision Staffing. Talk about another one of our great sponsors. We'll do some classic rock. Be back at you in a minute.
Woodhouse Day Spa. They are running. Oh, please. You got to call Woodhouse. If you're local, call Woodhouse Day Spa, 905-7676. That's area code 205. Or run right up to the summit where they're located. If you're not and you're looking for an amazing gift, go to their webpage, birmingham.woodhousespas.com, birmingham.woodhousespas.com. This is the season where you're going to find the best deals from Woodhouse Day Spa. And they are a resort. Manicures, pedicures, facials, massages, all kinds of products to help you feel better, help you live better, and it's all available to you. Go to their webpage today. You can book a reservation. You can get one of their amazing gift certificates. And the webpage, again, is birmingham.woodhousespas.com. That's birmingham.woodhousespas.com.